We're at halftime, and I don't know. I've seen a lot of games that were scoreless at the half, but, Paul, I don't believe I've ever seen a scoreless halftime following as much action as we got in those first two quarters of play.
Well, there certainly was a lot of action. I keep having one thought running through my mind, and it's this. I'm darn glad I'm up here and not down on that field, because the field is a little bit hard at this stage of the season. They're playing across the old baseball infield, and it looks extremely hard. And, in the early stages of the ball game, Bill Pellington and company were really bombing, as were the Vikings. And you have the impression that come Monday, there's going to be a few people on the Vikings, for example, in to see Fred Zamberletti, the trainer, and get in that whirlpool. Jim Finks, general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, what do you think?
Well, Paul, I am amazed that I can't see how we are not on the scoreboard. We, I think, have dominated the first half completely. I don't know what the stats will prove, but it looks to me like we've run about 35 offensive plays and have taken the ball and have done everything but score. I just hope that the boys don't lose heart, because they're playing a great football game. As you pointed out, it's a real rock'em sock'em type of football game, Paul.
Well, one has the impression that the Baltimore Colts, having been knocked off by the Vikings in that first game of the season, said, we're going to really push it to them. And the Vikings, on the other hand, have said, oh, no, you're not. We're not going to get kicked around by you.
The way it looks today, Paul, it'd be hard to determine who was leading the Western Football Conference, because even though Baltimore's only lost the one game, we've lost four. I think on the play of the first half, our ball club looks better than Baltimore. We've moved the ball consistently on the ground, have taken the ball and driven it 30 or 40 yards at a time, and Billy Brown's running awfully hard, but we're not on the scoreboard yet.
Jim, if I can interrupt, just my own unofficial statistics would show 37 plays from scrimmage for the Vikings and 25 for Baltimore, which is just about what you said.
Just about, Ray, but they pay off on the scoreboard.
Jim, speaking of paying off, come November 28th, the Minnesota Vikings, along with other NFL ball clubs, will be going into that all-important draft. Why the change of date this year, and how do things stack up? Is there a new system? I understand something with the telephones this year.
That's correct. In the past, Paul, they've always gone to Chicago and had it, I believe, after the 12th game, and all clubs would meet in Chicago. But this year they're doing it before the 12th game. It'll be on Saturday, so you'll be drafting, depending on your standings, after the 11th game. Now, it's going to be done by telephone and TWX this year. Every club will stay in their own office where they have all their files and battery of telephones, and they still will have the headquarters of the draft in New York, where the press will congregate, the New York press, and the commissioner will be there. But each club will stay in their own respective city, do all the telephoning and to the players in advance if they want to draft, things of this nature. And then when they get ready to make their selection, well, they'll call New York, and the commissioner will announce it there.
In other words, if Johnny Jones at Wyoming University is your choice when it comes up, you do what then? You call in?
Oh, yes, we'll call in. First of all, we'll get permission, and we have a time limit allowed to us, Paul, to contact the boy that we're thinking about drafting before we actually make the draft. And as you, the example you used, if we do call Johnny Jones and he is agreeable to the terms and wants to play with the Vikings, then we will notify the league office that we are drafting Johnny Jones, and then he will then notify the next club in their turn. Now, this could go on and on, Paul. It's going to start quite early. The commissioner hasn't officially announced the time yet, but it'll probably start in the morning of the 28th, and I just hope it's finished by Sunday, because, you know, we're playing the Rams at home, our last game that day.
Well, speaking of the Rams, on November 29th, that should be a darn good one to see. The Rams have got one of the best defensive ball clubs I've seen in a long time, Jim.
They've got great personnel, Paul. There's no question about it. That defensive front four, they're big and they're very agile type of boys. And this is a different type of Ram club that they're building. It's more along the pattern of the old New York Giant club, real tough defense and run the ball down your throats. And this is a throwback to the Giant type of club, because Savari and a couple of the assistants were Giant players at one time. And used to be, when Norm was playing out there, why, they threw the ball an awful lot, you know, and they were sort of a fancy Dan football club. But now they're real tough defensively and have some great personnel, and probably will be a real contender in this league in another year or two.
If memory serves me right on a release you sent out, isn't it Alumni Day?
That is correct. This was something, as you know, Paul, was started last year for all pro football players, ex-pro football players, regardless of what team they played with, whether invited to come in and be our guests that day. We'll have a brunch for them at the stadium, and they'll be our guests at the game, and they'll be officially introduced. And it was very well accepted by everybody last year, and it's something we're looking forward to having again this year.
Obviously, Jim, through incomplete records, you may miss some fellows in your invitations. Can they call in or do anything?
Yes, Paul, I'm glad you brought that up. I wish they would call in. Anybody who has had any affiliation with pro football, regardless of the league or the team, why, they're more than welcome to come.
Jim Finks, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thanks, Paul. See if you can get us some points this half, will you?
I sure will. We're at halftime. The score is 0-0, Baltimore Colts and the Minnesota Vikings at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, and we'll continue with our halftime show in just a few minutes.
Time now for a look at the news from the WCCO Radio News Bureau. Jack Hyatt reporting. Six members of a family of 12 are dead today at Sartell, Minnesota, after a Saturday night of terror. 49-year-old John Jendersek shot his 42-year-old wife and four of their children to death before turning the gun on himself. Officials said the shootings occurred after Jendersek warned his wife not to go through with a divorce. The couple had been separated for about 2 months. The wife of a prominent Bayport, Minnesota dentist is being held today in connection with a shotgun slaying of her husband. Dr. Philip Samuelson died en route to a hospital. His wife, 40-year-old Audrey Samuelson, is being held on suspicion of murder. President Johnson wings back to Washington today to work on his $100 billion budget and a legislative slate for the new Congress that meets in January. And six weekend traffic mishaps continue to push the state highway death toll to the top. The latest reported fatality is 21-year-old David Nagel of Spring Valley. He was killed in a one-car accident near Simpson, Minnesota, this morning. 43 degrees in the Twin Cities, and you stand by now. Here comes the name and address of the winner, number 16, in the 1964 WCCO Radio Thanksgiving Turkey Sweepstakes. That's right. It's time to announce another winner. Number 16 in our Turkey Sweepstakes. This next number is Wilda Thomas of 82 North Smith Street in St. Paul. Wilda Thomas, you hurry now and call WCCO Radio right away at Federal 2-1202 and claim your fine Norbest turkey. You've just 10 minutes to call us. And if some of you folks know Wilda Thomas, tell her to call WCCO Radio right away and claim this fine Norbest turkey. Homegrown and processed by Doughboy Food Products Division. And all of you who sent in postcards in our WCCO Radio Thanksgiving Turkey Sweepstakes, keep tuned to 830 because we're now announcing the names of our lucky winners, and you'll hear another name coming up soon here on CCO. That's the big wish for a very happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at CCO Radio. Let us turn now to the weather. Cooler air is moving into the northwest this afternoon, and northern Wisconsin has a low center. Widespread cloudiness and some fog is reported in most sections of the five-state regions, with only slow improvement anticipated. Heavy snowfalls were reported in portions of the Dakotas, with 3 inches reported at Lemon, South Dakota, and 5 inches at Minot, North Dakota. A trace of snow was reported over northern sections of Minnesota. The Twin Cities forecast calls for mostly cloudy, cooler this afternoon and tonight, partly cloudy tomorrow. A low tonight of 28, high tomorrow 45, a low tomorrow night of 28. In the Twin Cities, skies are cloudy. The wind is from the northwest at 11, humidity 89%. The current Twin City temperature is 43 degrees. That's the latest news from the WCCO Radio News Bureau. Jack Hyatt reporting. Now, back to Baltimore.
Paul Giel along with Ray Christensen at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, home of the Baltimore Colts. The score at halftime is 0-0. And we're going to chat now with Don Kellett, the general manager of the Baltimore Colts. Don, the most natural question to ask you as a leadoff one, with the Colts on top in the Western Division, 8-1, are you surprised?
We're very pleasantly surprised, Paul. After we left Minneapolis, St. Paul, for our first game out there when the Vikings beat us, we were confronted with what I thought was going to be a very, very long season. But fortunately, things have turned around, and after the one-point victory the next week over the Green Bay Packers, it seemed to be a springboard for us up until today. Today, I don't like what I've seen out there in the first half, but I think that the Minnesota Vikings are an not only an extremely fine football team, but they're certainly a well-balanced team offensively and defensively, particularly this afternoon.
We were remarking that it seems evident that both teams definitely came to play and sort of a revenge battle for Baltimore, but the Vikings said we'll have no part of it. We came to play, too.
Well, we have been a hitting football team, I will say, ever since the game in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we're hitting today, but you fellas are hitting just as hard, and as a result, it's a scoreless deadlock at halftime.
Don, what about Lenny Moore? He's having a great year. Has Tom Matty being in the background given him a lot of incentive?
Well, Lenny has been having a great year, and Tom Matty, who was the starter last year and who Lenny had to beat out, made a remark to me early in the year. He says, if I make him the number one halfback on the team and one of the better halfbacks in the league, I feel that I will have contributed a great deal to the success of the team, and that's just what Tom Matty has done.
Steve Stonebaker, playing that left corner linebacker for you, of course, came to the Vikings in that Palmer Pyle deal. Are you happy with old Stoney?
We're very pleased with that trade, and I hope the Vikings are pleased with Palmer Pyle because he's a fine football player. But we made four trades, one of which was the Stonebaker trade, and the other three have been doing well for us, too. So we're very pleased with what happened in the trade market.
Well, Don, it's going to be an interesting second half, and thank you for stopping
by.
Don't
be too tough on us, Paul.
Okay, Don Kellett, general manager of the Baltimore Colts.